Will we work? Will we shop? Will we meet our friends? Will we play our sport? It is our mission field. It is there God has placed us to share about him, to try to somehow draw a person one step closer to Jesus. As we come to the middle of our mission month, I think it's important for us to realise that. That we too have got a mission to perform. We've got to tell people about Jesus too. And we've got a mission field in which to do it. And that's where God has placed you. And it is this fact that makes it so vital that we are able to share. That we're able to share about Jesus with others. And we're able to share out of a real personal experience of him with joy, with enthusiasm, and with knowledge. There are times, however, I think it's true of me, and I'm sure it's true of you, that I'm not so excited about telling others about Jesus. Times when I need to get re-enthused. Times when I need to get stirred up all over again about what it really means to be a Christian and the joy of the message that God has given me to share. We need our joy tank refilled. And we want that so that the message of Jesus will just kind of leak out of us, that it comes out without too much effort on our part, that people see us and sense that something is happening in that person's life, and that's to do with Almighty God. And to do that, we need, I think, at times, to revisit the wonderful message of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has done for us. Revisit in our hearts, revisit in our minds, so that we will truly be ambassadors of God's love in this needy world. That we know what we believe. And it's a joyous thing for us. And we want to share it with others. Now, we all know our mate Terry Baker over here just loves being in the outdoor. You talk to him and he'll tell you how much he loves sleeping under the stars. In fact, he loves it so much that Elaine reckons he could do it every night out in the garden. But the other week, he was able to go and do that. For a week, he went up north, chased a few goats, and he just slept out in the open. And he came back. And when he started talking to me, there was something beautiful about the way he spoke. Because you could sense the joy and the excitement as he talked about the stars and went on and on and on about sleeping out in the bush. It came over in a beautiful, fresh way. And we seek to do a similar thing this morning. As we look at one chapter of the Bible, Isaiah 55, because it tells us what God has done for us. And I want us to look at it and I want us to get excited about it. Because in this chapter, I believe, God touches our hearts again and says, this is what I've done for you. And then he gives us the message that we then have to go and talk to and share with others. We're going to have it up on the overhead. So actually, this is our Bible reading. We're going to follow it through. You might just like to look at your Bibles or see we've got it up there from the NIV. Now, through most of this chapter, it is God who is doing the speaking. That's why you've got the exclamation marks. There's one little bit that comes on, which I've got in italics, where Isaiah says something. But this is God speaking to the world. God speaking to us. And as we stand back and look at what God says, there are four wow statements, I believe, that we are led to make. And the first wow statement relates to verses 1 to 5. And it's, wow, what a message. Wow, what a message we have to proclaim. And this is what it says. Come, all you who are thirsty. This is God speaking. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You have no money. Come, buy and eat. You don't need money. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost from me. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. Eat and eat what is good and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Now what God is doing here is offering this to everyone, to all people. He says, you know, come all of you. And he's offering it to all peoples from all nations. And he says, look, I can give you the only thing that will satisfy the deep inner thirst and hunger of your soul. And that's a relationship with me. That's what God says. A relationship where God dwells within your life by the Holy Spirit and is within you a fountain of living water which bubbles up within. Now, whatever else a person may seek in life, whatever else we spend our money and our time on, it will never give what we need most. It will give us many things and it will give us satisfaction, but it will be a kind of temporal thing. What we need most is to have a covenant, a relationship with Almighty God, where we can feel that we and God are friends together, that our lives are in God's hands and he will keep us even when death comes. And here is God offering it. He's offering it to everyone. And he's offering it freely. And he's offering it without any cost whatsoever, any charge. You may well ask, well, how possibly can God do that when we are so different to God? He is just so pure and holy. He is free from any sin. And he can't even have, the Bible tells us, anybody who's done anything wrong in his presence because he's so pure and perfect. So then how can he offer that to sinners such as us? Well, the answer we find in the New Testament, because God in his wonderful way came to earth and died upon a cross so that he would actually take the penalty for our sins, so he can offer us a free pardon and can do it freely. And that's what God does here. He refers to his son, Jesus, who one day would come. And in verse 4, he talks about him and says, see, I have made him, and that's Jesus, a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. And that's what Jesus came. Though he was born just as a peasant in a stable, he is one now that most, if not all people in the world, will have heard of. And then it's as though God turns to his son and says, this is what will happen. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. And so it is. God endowed his son with splendor, with the miracles and works he did. And then he raised him from the dead. And what happens now? Jesus appeals to all nations. And people from all nations come to the Lord Jesus Christ and become Christians. Throughout the world today, there are millions of Christians from every nation. Some even have to worship in private, in secret. But they still worship. Even in states that say there is no God, like China, there are still many millions of Christians who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a message? Wow, what a message that is, isn't it? Well, the second wow statement refers to verses 6 to 9. And it's, wow, what a challenge. This is where the prophet starts to speak. See, Isaiah, after hearing what God has offered, he can't stay quiet. He's got something to say. And what he says is an appeal to people everywhere. Verses 6 to 7. Seek the Lord. What a wonderful message. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. There is this need, you see, to seek the Lord for oneself. And there's a real urgency about it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. At present, he still may be found as Saviour and as Lord. He is near to each person. I believe that. I believe he touches people. I believe they get an awareness of him. I believe he leads them into places where he can hear others talking about them. He is near. But the time is close. And he will no longer be near like that. Where he will be judge rather than saviour. But seeking the Lord by itself, says Isaiah, is not enough. It's not sufficient. There must also be a desire to reform one's life. To admit to the wrongdoing that is part of everybody. In different levels, but it's still part of everybody. And not just in the acts we do, but also even in our thoughts. And we all know that we haven't had good thoughts lately. All the time we've had some good ones, but we've probably had a lot of bad ones as well. We are so far from a perfect and holy God. Even our good acts and thoughts, Isaiah says, alongside the purity of God, they're like a bunch of dirty rags. And yet we can seek God. Why? Because of his abundant mercy. You see, God yearns to forgive even the most shocking sinner. God yearns to draw each one of us into his family as his sons and daughters, despite the weaknesses that still even continue, even once we come to God and ask him to be our Lord and Saviour. Yet he yearns to forgive. I think we all know how hard it is to forgive others, don't we? And especially those who keep on hurting us. Those who are malicious. How hard it is to forgive someone who's been malicious to someone who you love. Your son, your daughter, your parent. How hard it is, we know, to keep on forgiving someone who does the bad thing again and again and again and again and again. Who spit in our faces. Yet God forgives us, and we do that to God. God forgives us whose wrongs forced his son to the cross of Calvary. How can he do that? Well, says Isaiah, it is even as God himself declares. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I'm different to you. I'm God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's why God can forgive us, because he is God. There is no sin in him. And he was prepared to send his son to give us salvation. You know, we sometimes try to work out God, don't we? We think we can. We think we can understand God. God is God. We never fully understand God. His ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I think it's amazing, this challenge to seek the Lord, because it works. I was reading in the Christian TV Priority One. They sent out a newsletter. There's just a little testimony in it, and this is what this guy says, or girl, I'm not sure. I was flicking through the TV stations. I normally dismiss any religious things, but I watched more than half of your show. And of the end of the program, and at the end of the program, the lady preacher said something along the lines of, if you want to change your life, say this prayer with me. Which I did, and asked for forgiveness for all the stealing and drugs I've taken in my life. Immediately after I finished praying, something which I can't explain happened to me, like a cross between goosebumps and a huge weight off my mind, body and soul. This is the first time I've had this feeling in my life, and I'm 32 years of age. And that was written from Hakea Prison in Cannington, WA. It does work. If you seek the Lord, he does give the forgiveness, and many can testify to the change it makes inside one's life. That's the second one. So, wow, what a message. Wow, what a challenge. Then the third wow statement refers to verses 10 to 11. And that's, wow, what a promise. And it's a promise that relates to the effectiveness of God's word, the Bible. God promises that his word will be powerful and effective. You know, we can have confidence in our sharing of God's message, because success does not depend upon us, our argument, our skill with words, our knowledge, our memory, thank goodness. It is bound up in the fact that it is God's word. Verse 10 to 11. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Amen. Isn't that a wow of a promise? Isn't it? You know, we've got a wonderful picture we are given here. The rain comes to earth, doesn't it? With a job to do. And it does it, leaving behind fruit and harvest. And so does God's word. When it is faithfully and prayerfully proclaimed, God always honours it. And God always fulfills the purpose he had in the presentation of that word to those people. Then there's a fourth wow. It refers to verses 12 and 13. And it's wow, what rejoicing. Rejoicing in our freedom. Keith was going to sing you this morning. I'm even inclined to sing now. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. See, even as the Lord took his people, the Jews, out of Egypt, so he takes us out of our slavery to sin, to death, and to judgment. We rejoice in that freedom. We rejoice in his provision. Even as the Lord led forth his people through the wilderness and into the promised land and provided along the way, so the Lord is beside us. Our journey through life, isn't he? To eternity, that's the promise. He gives us peace. His presence is with us always. Rejoicing over our new landscape of life, verse 13. Instead of the thorn brush will grow the pine tree. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. Instead of our lives being full of thorns and briars, God grows in us the fruit of the Spirit. He places in our hearts his joy. And though we go through difficult times, because God is with us, everything is transformed. And all this God does for us because he loves us. And it will be an everlasting sign. We will be that nothing will ever destroy. This is a wonderful message that we have. But we can only share it once we've personally accepted it for ourselves. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Have you accepted the message? Have you actually heard God and said, okay, God, I want to do business with you. I don't understand everything. But I just want you to reveal yourself more to me. I reckon I'm not too good. I reckon there's wrong in my life and that you are perfectly good, but I come to you and ask forgiveness. Come into my life. Change me. And then once we have experienced Christ's love, we have this message to proclaim and we've got to get excited about it. And it's a message worth getting excited about, isn't it? Wow, what a message. Wow, what a challenge. Wow, what a promise. Wow, what rejoicing. My prayer is that you will feel excited this morning about the opportunity God has prepared for you to go and share something of that by your words, by your actions, by your prayers. And that you will do so while there is still time to do it. And I'm going to give Don just 2 minutes, that's all, because I've gone on a lot, to come and share one way you can do that. Don, where are you?